Hi, and welcome to the wonderful podcast, Living Yoga Off the Mat. I am Wanda Badwal. I'm looking forward to explore with you the fascinating world of yoga, spirituality, and personal development. To hear and to learn how we can integrate more love, balance, and fulfillment in our daily lives. Welcome to Wonderful. I'm so happy that you're here. Hi, and welcome, guys, to the Wonderful Podcast. I'm so happy that you're here. Today, I'm super excited to speak with one of my dear friends and sisters, Violeta Pleshakova. Guys, one of the best things of doing this podcast is that I got to speak to super inspiring people and get to ask all the questions I always wanted to ask and speak about topics I'm really passionate about. So with Violeta, I will talk about all things magic, about souls, about destiny, about the big changes humanity is going through right now, and everything we girls are passionate about. So Violeta Pleshakova is a total paradigm shifter. She's a spiritual mentor, a leadership coach, and an alchemical priestess of Temple of Starfire, the space where ancient wisdom meets modern magic. She's a co-founder of the Firepower Group, a company dedicated to creating courageous, conscious leaders. Violeta holds a PhD in cultural studies and has been leading personal development programs on three continents with participants from over 30 countries for nearly a decade. Violeta's work is powered by the mission of helping rising leaders connect with that wisdom, come alive in their power, and walk boldly in their divine destiny. As a true citizen of the world, Violeta divides her time between Berlin, South Africa, Amsterdam, Moscow, and southern France. And sometimes she also visits Bali. That's where I actually met Violeta and so many of my magical friends, actually. And I remember the first moment when I saw her, I thought, there is something special about that woman. I want to get to know her. She's totally inspiring to me. She's different. And I am super grateful that we got to know each other. She's a true gem. And I had the honor to have several sessions with her where she guided me to connect deeper with my own soul. And I'm super, super excited to speak with Violeta today via Zoom. Violeta, where are you right now?
Hi, Wanda. Hi, everyone. I'm coming to you live from Johannesburg, South Africa. We are recording this during the times of lockdown, and I am locked down in South Africa, but I'm not complaining. I'm very happy here.
Not such a bad place to be locked down in, right? South Africa?
No, it's to me, it's my favorite place in the world. It's really home to my heart and soul. So I'm coming from this amazing African energy and very, very pure soil that has so much soul and grace.
Thank you so much for taking the time today, coming on the podcast, Violeta. It's such an honor to speak with you. I'm so happy and excited.
I'm excited too.
And so I'm also so grateful that we have this amazing technique, speaking to each other while you're in South Africa, I'm here in Germany, and we get to share this podcast with the world. So I would love everyone to land in this moment wherever you are right now. So usually I start the podcast with a little meditation to help everyone to settle, to ground, to connect in this energy field in this moment. So would you do this today for us, Violeta?
Gladly. It's an honor. So everyone, please find a way to get centered and still. And let's take a deep breath in together. And out. And find your way back to your body. Take a moment to scan your body all the way from the top of your head, slowly moving with your awareness down, just noticing what is moving in your body today, without needing to change anything. With every breath, diving deeper and deeper into yourself, into your inner world. And appreciate your body as a vessel, as your safe haven for this lifetime. And now I ask you, with the next breath, please imagine that with the breath in, you are collecting new fresh energy. And with the out breath, you are dropping out of your mind into your heart, allowing the mind to take a back seat and bringing more of your presence into your heart. And just pause there and check in with your heart. How does it feel to be you today? Allowing all your feelings to just be. Feeling your emotions. Feeling everything without needing to give it a name. And then with the next in-breath, breathing into your heart. And with the out-breath, dropping even deeper out of your heart into your belly. Into your belly. Into your root. And noticing what is moving there. There in the belly you find your creative life force. Your sexual force, your life energy. And just tune in and acknowledge the privilege of being alive. And from there, one more drop, breathing into the belly and dropping down into your feet and down into the connection we all have with the planet. And you can imagine that you are dropping an anchor from your root, like a boat would drop an anchor at harbor. And you are anchoring yourself through the floor, through the soil, through the layers, all the way deeper and deeper, anchoring into the very core of the planet. And you can imagine that at that core, there is a shining bright crystal, this light. And you are soaking up all the nourishment of that light, pulling it up the anchor, pulling it into your feet, into your belly, up into your heart, into your throat, into your head, allowing it to explode like a fountain above the crown of your head, and allowing it to invigorate and nourish your entire body and your entire field. And then come back to your heart. Come back to your center. And I invite you also to set an intention for what you wish to receive from listening to our conversation today. Maybe you have a question that is on your mind today that you want to get answered. And perhaps there will be something in today's episode that will sprinkle an insight. Or maybe simply you want to shift your inner state. Set that intention now. Surrender to the space, knowing that somewhere all answers already exist. All healing is already unfolding. Now it's only up to us to claim it. And may everything that needs to be known be known. Everything that needs to be seen, and highest guidance and wisdom transpire for our highest good and highest good of all. And so be it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And from this space of intention, find your way back, move your body, find your presence again, and here we are, ready to dive into this conversation.
So much, Violetta, for this beautiful connecting in. Thank you so much.
It's an honor. Thank you for asking.
My first question I love to ask my guest here is, what is moving you right now?
This is such a beautiful question. You know, now in times of lockdown and planetary change, what is moving me the most right now is a very visceral, intense realization of what a gift life is. And these days, it's now day 28 of absolute lockdown in South Africa. We're not even allowed to leave our house. It's very strict. I've been sitting here looking outside and realizing how much I love life and how much more I can give and contribute and how much more I can participate. And I'm looking back and I'm thinking, wow, I wish I have taken more chances. I wish I have spoken out more. I wish I had contributed even more. So that is one of my biggest, biggest inner forces that drive to just be of service, to seize every day and to show up 100% with absolute totality, such that every day I can go to bed knowing that I have sourced myself out completely. There is nothing ungiven left. There are no withholds. I have been showing up to the fullest, and here I am. That is what is unfolding for me.
Thank you so much. That's so beautiful. And I feel that's an invitation for all of us. How can we be of service even more? And how that's something actually that came for me through too. Like, how can I be of service today even more? How can I show up even more? And I think that's the beautiful thing that like a retreat offers us, to how can we expand when we go back, right?
Yeah, totally. I feel a very strong sense of urgency right now in the world. You know, this month, I have had several new clients coming in with a sense of urgency to step into their purpose big time. It's almost like the pandemic is a mirror. And in that mirror, we are seeing everything about ourselves. It will trigger different things for different people, but for many, it is triggering that invitation to become incorruptible. We realize that life is so fragile and so precious. We realize that many of us have become so entitled to have this nice life and be provided for and so on. And we realize that we have been taken so much for granted. I am definitely realizing that. I'm taking it for granted that I can go outside and be in nature. I'm taking it for granted that I can go and buy myself a new crystal if I want to, you know. But now I'm just seeing, wow, what if the world is changing fundamentally, and we are all called to really inquire what matters the most. And am I going to just sit around and wait and expect life to come to me in some way? Or am I going to get real about it, get serious about it, and follow that urgency and that intensity? No more thinking about it. It's time to put everything that we have been talking about into action. It's time to walk the talk.
Absolutely. My last episode was actually about that, where I was also speaking about what is the situation calling us to step up to? What is life calling us right now to step into the next level, whatever that can be for us? And I'm hearing this word right now. It's like everywhere for me, paradigm shift. And you also call yourself a paradigm shifter. And also, you know, a modern day witch and a priestess. And I mean, for me, these are very normal terms and for you too, you know, but I also know that many of our listeners are maybe not so used to these terms. So let us start maybe with paradigm shift. What does that actually mean? And especially for the situation from your perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let me see how we can define it. A paradigm shift, I would define it as a reinvention of our entire way of being as a society, as a civilization, especially talking about the Western world. So it's a reinvention of the status quo. to me, paradigm shift is like a planetary movement. It's a ripple effect where people start awakening to their essence more and more and more. So this is the paradigm. A paradigm shift happens. It's normally, it's like years, if not centuries in the making. There are rebels, there are revolutionaries, there are innovators and pioneers, people who question things. And sometimes they, like in the Middle Ages, witches got burned because they were different. Yeah. And so it's years in the making, and the paradigm shift happens when we reach a critical mass and when more and more people refuse to accept paradigms that were given to them. They refuse to accept the so-called norm. They refuse to accept that this is one linear track of how you're supposed to live your life. And we have been seeing this for the last couple of decades, that more and more people want to follow their heart. More and more people become self-employed. There is a greater interest in spirituality, even in non-traditional spirituality that is not about religion at all. There are people who awaken to their intuitive and psychic abilities. And so what I see currently is happening is more and more people start to awaken to two things. One is becoming conscious of the greater whole, realizing that it's not just me, myself, and I. The Western individualism is coming to an end. And I think the pandemic is showing us in a very interesting way, in a very painful way, how connected we are. That it's not just one country. And now that borders are closed and we're kind of isolated, we realize that we are in this together. And we realize that we cannot just operate from, okay, country by country. We need to find a way to work together. This is one level of the paradigm shift into awareness of greater whole. And second level is, I would call it incorruptibility and self-responsibility and sovereignty, where people are no longer hooked on the dictate of external authority, which was the hallmark of patriarchy. Yeah, when someone else is here to tell me what to do, the guru age is done, the guru age is over. And I'm seeing more and more shift into personal consciousness, where people take responsibility for their lives and they start thinking for themselves. They start questioning things and they start building non-linear life tracks where they do not need anyone's approval. And I believe that if everyone would start awakening to their personal truth and taking responsibility for living that, not looking for external confirmation, not allowing themselves to do people-pleasing and hiding and playing small for the sake of being approved and fitting in, if everyone would unlock their essence and live their essence, we would have a much better world, because there would be simply more honesty, more authenticity, more connection, and more consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much for, making that so clear what paradigm shift is about. And I mean, it sounds beautiful, right? To say more and more people becoming more conscious and waking up to their own truth. But in practicalities, what I also feel is that for people who haven't been on the inner path, who have denied their truth for a long time, have denied their soul's calling for a long time, I think it can also be a very painful moment right now. Being locked down, being really shown, as you said, as a mirror, what we've been maybe avoiding or distracting ourselves from. What are you feeling like? Do you also feel that?
Yes, absolutely. And this is also what I'm hearing from many friends, from clients, from people in my network, that I think right now everyone is triggered. Everyone. It's a collective trauma. And everyone will respond to it differently. That's why I feel it's so important to not be judgmental, to not judge ourselves for how we are responding, and to not judge others. You know, these days online, I've become very careful with what I allow into my space. I'm like, even unfollowing people on Instagram and Facebook, because I sense that some are becoming so prescriptive in their recipes. Of course, they're trying to help. They're trying to suggest things that people can do in order to cope better. But it's often so prescriptive and one-sided. I think we have no right to say that right now everyone must do self-improvement and everyone must use this time to learn a language or write a book. Not everyone has this privilege. Some people are literally fighting for their life. They are left without income. They don't have time to sit and meditate. We are very privileged that we can sit and have this chat right now. Yeah. But on the other hand side, there are also people that suggest something entirely different. Say, take rest, be self-compassionate. Again, not everyone can afford to take rest right now. So what I'm saying is, I think, yes, we are all triggered and no response is right and wrong. But this is a possibility, a great window of opportunity to get centered in ourselves. So be kind to yourself, be compassionate, but also be responsible, knowing that you can choose how you respond right now. Stay close to yourself. This is what I would suggest. If it's painful, if it's too much, stay close to yourself. Just ask yourself, what do I need right now? What do I truly, really need right now? Who do I choose to be? Because that is an opportunity to come closer to yourself, to start hearing yourself amidst the noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. There are different dimensions happening at the same time, right? That there's the 3D dimension where the suffering is very real, you know, and where people are dying and people losing relatives and where the virus is a threat. And I think it's very important to honor these different realities that are happening at the same time for different people in the world right now. And for some of us who are privileged, you know, who are able to have this conversation, who are able to meditate, who are able to do self-development work, also to see for each individual, what is the shift in your life or what is the opportunity? And that can look very different, I think.
Yeah, and also I think to not expect ourselves to be perfect, to know that this is now not the time to show off as the spiritual leader. You know, it is simply an opportunity to serve and to be of service, to be helpful. You know, when it all started, I think like what, a month ago, at first, I didn't even know how to respond, to be honest. I needed to take a step back and to process. And I thought, oh, I need to send a newsletter. Oh, I need to do something, you know, like my mind was pushing me. But then I realized that I cannot act from concept. I can only act from truth. So I had to first drop in and process things for myself. But then also there comes a moment where you gotta bring the pity party to a close. I was like, okay, right, I'm sitting here, I'm processing, but I also have a responsibility to show up to my community. So, and then a line came to mind, a line from A Course in Miracles. It goes like this: if you feel helpless, help someone. I think it's fascinating for these times. And that brings me to think, wow, if I feel challenged, if I don't know when I'll be able to get out of South Africa, what's going to happen to my visa and whatever. Those are all quite, you know, petty concerns in comparison to some of the population here. I've heard just yesterday on the news that probably 42% of businesses in South Africa will close because of the pandemic. And I'm just thinking all those people and thinking, what can I do? How can I support, but not disempower, support, but not enable? So we don't want to turn people into victims. We want to lift them up and we want to empower them to empower themselves. And everything needs to be put into perspective. And I think every day we can ask ourselves, how can I contribute today? What is needed? And some days what is needed is go and sleep, recover, recharge. On other days, what is needed is kick your ass into action and some procrastinations and move the needle forward. So really, I think it's a very dynamic process of moment by moment tuning in and learning to be in that direct relationship with our inner guidance that is always moving us.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you think will change through that special situation we are in? What are your ideas or visions that you have for humanity after that? What will you think? Like, in the good, if you want to divide it like this, good direction or maybe also challenging direction.
You know, I've been thinking about that a lot. And I realized one thing is that I feel that it would be irresponsible to make a prediction. I see, again, that many people who are channels and psychics offer channeled perspectives from this council of light or that. And it all has its place, but I want to use this opportunity to remind everyone that everything is just a perspective. So let's not be swayed by all the currents, because some people are going down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories right now and start talking about vaccines and 5G. And they lose themselves down that rabbit hole, forgetting that this is also just one perspective. Yeah. And that's why I'm very careful to not make any predictions. So my crystal ball is silent on that one, because I think, and also in my work, I will do intuitive sessions and sometimes I use Akashic Records and Tarot cards. I never take it upon myself to predict anyone's future. And I will explain why. So how I see this works is we live in a world of infinite possibility and free will. That's simply how I see it. There are so many points of bifurcation, the butterfly effect. And we all have free will. We are all growing and evolving. So any prediction is only made from the point of our current awareness. And we can make maybe a calculation of if we continue on the current paradigm, on the current track, this is what is likely to happen. Yeah, but we know that we can grow, and we know that with our free will we can pivot, and we can ascend to higher awareness. So I think all bets are off. Really, all doorways are open for humanity right now. That's why I think it's a great opportunity, because we can skip several timelines and move into this new paradigm and new consciousness. We can stay on the same level, and we can even go backwards. We can have a war, you know, anything is possible. Mm-hmm. So I refrain from any predictions, but what I think is a responsible thing to do is create a vision of, if I could imagine a better world, what would it look like? And what can I responsibly do to bring this about, to come closer to it right now?
I love that about you and your work, that it's also so grounded and it's a lot about self-empowerment. And I really appreciate that you're pointing this out here, also apart from the situation, because I feel many people going through fortune readers, tarot readers, you know, giving their responsibility to the person in front of them. And this, I find it so important to really point out, there is the part of self-responsibility, of free will, and they are... you know, I went myself many times to tarot readers, you know, and I also feel what they're pointing out is a frequency, something they feel or see, and that is true. And they're just pointing out something I already know. And, but then it's my choice if I want to follow down, as you say, that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one line that I always use is, I use tools like tarot and Akashic Records. I use it for transformation, not for information. Because all of that information is just one perspective. People are picking up your frequency as you embody it right now. But nothing is set in stone. You can change your life by choice. You can do the work of releasing whatever is holding you back and stuck in a non-aligned timeline. I think that is the power, that is transformation, where tools like Akashic Records and Tarot, they can point out areas for growth. So they are not predicting that, oh, you're going to meet a tall, dark stranger, or you're going to move to the west or whatever. They can simply help you understand yourself better, and they can point out probably different shadow aspects that you need to integrate, or they can highlight some gifts and strengths that you need to follow. But ultimately, I think we always have a choice, especially when we think that we don't. We have a choice. That is the world of free will and self-responsibility.
Yeah, and it's such an important reminder, because I think we as humans, we love to get told how things are, you know, that's how it's going to be. You're going to meet the love of your life tomorrow. And And it's so interesting that we sometimes don't even realize how much we co-create. Yeah. And we are
Exactly.
Right. And we are co-creating. Sorry. And I feel like what you're also saying is that right now it's everyone's choice from each one of you listening, how we come out of the situation, how we're going to, you know, proceed from that, and that we co-create our future.
Yeah, that's so beautifully said, Vanda. Co-creation is key. And I think one of the reasons why we as humans, we tend to try to get information about our future or predict how the current situation will evolve is because we have a big trouble being in the unknown. We don't like to be in the unknown. And I think if there is one skill we can all collectively practice right now is learning to be in the unknown, learning to find that peace amongst the storm, that inner core, that point of strength within you that is unshakable. And to me, that is our soul essence. I call it soul essence. It's that timeless, eternal aspect of you. And I'm getting goosebumps now as I'm phrasing that. It's like, to me, I feel like as that pillar of light that runs through our body, runs through our chakras, connects heaven and earth, and we are just a vessel, and within that vessel so many forces are unfolding. And if we can just learn, again back to my earlier statement, live closer to ourselves and live moment by moment from that place of trueness and guidance, doing our best, co-creating our experience, and not trying to control it, not trying to predict it, because we can't. It's like, that's the funny thing. We think we can, but we can't. There is no way anyone, when you were writing down your New Year resolutions, could have even conceived of the possibility that there will be a global pandemic and we will be sitting here in our homes locked down, and that, I don't know, people would go crazy or toilet paper. Like, seriously, who would have thought? And life is non-linear like that. So I think it's an absolute waste of energy trying to control it.
Yeah, and I feel it's very humbling, also the situation right now, all that very humbling to our controlling minds who want to have everything planned out for the rest of the year, you know, the summer holidays. And so, yeah, I think it's a great opportunity to reconnect to what you call soul essence, to that which is unchanging. And, you know, we both are in this working field of supporting people to reconnect to their soul. And I know you do Akashic Records readings, and you also use different tools, practices to support people in remembering their soul essence. So for us, it's probably very normal to speak about our soul and, you know, and to throw these words around. And I want to take one step back and, you know, can you explain from your experience and from your connection to your own soul, and also speaking about Akashic Records, explaining to our listeners, what would you say is the soul and what are the Akashic Records actually?
Oh, yes, that's such a potent subject. And first, I want to segue back to, Vanda, to your yoga teacher training that is called Remember Who You Are.
Yeah.
I think this is such a brilliant name. And this line, it encapsulates everything. Because it is so well phrased, remember who you are. It's not about like creating who you are or developing who, it's about remembering who you are. And that's the whole thing about the soul. The soul, to me, how I would define it, and other words could be higher self, timeless self, your light, and so on. It is the core of who you are beyond this body, beyond this life, beyond your current circumstances. And you don't have to believe in a reincarnation. You can even think of it as there are different versions of us, or different aspects, different grains of the same diamond. Yeah. And the core of the diamond is the soul. And it has its own unique frequency that nobody is like you. And then I think that our journey of finding our soul purpose and living our soul purpose, it's not about what I do, where I do it. It's more about who am I being and how I'm showing up. Yeah. And there are so many different ways of self-expression. one of the most common questions that I get from people when they come to Precision is, what is my purpose? And they want to know. But in my experience, it's not written anywhere. There is no book in the Akashic Records that outlines your purpose carefully laid out, because that, again, that would be a concept. And from free will, the expression of purpose can change. But to me, soul purpose is simply embodying here on earth your timeless essence. It is living from your truth. To put it simply, that is your only purpose, is to live from your truth, to be authentic, to be incorruptible, to be loyal to what is most true for you. And then how you live it is up to you. Then, because you are so close to yourself, so aligned with who you are, steps present themselves, different structures for fulfillment and vehicles of expression of that essence, they come. Somebody will express through art. Somebody will express through teaching. Someone will simply express it through starting a restaurant. Somebody will be a genius hairdresser. You know, like, soul purpose is not necessarily something static. To me, it's a dynamic process of becoming. Becoming, remembering who you are and bringing this to everything you do. To how you parent, to how you are with your partner, to how you talk to people, especially to the ones who can do nothing for you. You know, that's how you express that timeless core. And it's like a frequency, you know, it like irradiates. It's like a vibe that somebody has. And I know I didn't answer about the Akashic Records yet, but I just want to say, what do you think on that matter?
Yeah, I think also, you know, I think a lot about also soul and you know, reconnecting to my also every day in my meditation. And what came through for me this morning is this phrase, which you all might have heard many times, is follow your joy. Mm-hmm. And it sounds a little bit superficial, I think, like follow your joy. But mm-hmm. you know, joy is very different from fun. Like, it's not about fun, but it's what is that unbound joy. And that's what we say, you know, is the essence of soul, is pure joy. When we look at a little child, you know, chasing a butterfly over, you know, grass, or and you know, looking at a flower, just like that, very mm-hmm. innocent, very natural. I feel like it's a very natural state of being mm-hmm. when you feel like you're most you. And what my students often tell me, my teacher training, is I feel like I felt when I was a child again, training, and they feel like a relaxed state. It's for me also something very natural. I don't need to, you know, pushing forward or forcing myself to do something. It comes very natural. Like, and that's like a question that I ask people, or what helps also me when it comes to finding purpose, is what brings you the most joy? Like, what do you do when you're joyful? Like, do you dance? Do you sing? Do you cut hair? Do you, so what is that very natural thing? And often we find in our childhood, like, what have we been doing?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a beautiful practice for anyone who is now in the space of soul searching, searching for yourself, wanting to live more authentically. Just look at the red thread that underpins your life. What were the moments where you felt most true, most you? And those are sometimes very quiet moments. Say for me, I also remember how as a child I loved just roaming alone through the woods. I would go for long walks and I felt so free talking to animals, talking to imaginary friends. That to me is magic. It's that communion with the forces of the universe. And also when I'm writing or when I'm sharing insights with people and empowering them and training them or just having those deep, meaningful conversations. And it's like, it's so natural. It's like you're falling back into something. Yeah. So just follow those episodes and follow the red thread that's already there. I loved what you say about follow your joy. I love the word follow. It's like you are given a feeling. Sometimes it's very subtle. It's not like ba-bam, angels are singing and rose petals are falling from the sky. You are getting initiated into seven-dimensional plane of whatever. No, it's like actually very mundane. And if you don't know what your purpose is, how can you be purposeful? How can you be more yourself every day? You can be on purpose when you're just making lunch. You can be on purpose when you are driving in traffic. You can be on purpose when you are running errands, because this is what you bring as your natural state. And that's why I think it's so important to create that daily practice of, I call it self-communion, where before you get immersed into whatever life you have at the moment, take a moment to connect to that state. Just be still for 5 minutes. No need to do any fancy meditation or contemplation or five-step process. Just be. Just listen to yourself. And now we all have perhaps a bit more time, so just be.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for pointing that out, because I feel we have this idea, or the mind creates this idea of, oh, one day when I find my soul purpose, you know, as you said, roses are falling from the sky, angels are singing, everything is going to be so magical. But that it can be something very natural. And often our soul is already guiding us, but we didn't realize, we didn't give it a name that, oh, my soul is guiding me. But I know so many people who just intuitively, you know, for example, my partner, Marcel, he's such an intuitive person. You know, he never had concepts about soul or purpose or stuff like that, but he just did what he loved, you know, and shared that with the world. And he became super successful with that, you know. So without even knowing about concepts, about soul purpose, stuff like that.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about it the other day as well, is being spiritual or being esoterical or whatever does not equal living your truth. There are many people who are spiritual, who spend a lot of time doing yoga, and they practice, they know all the complicated postures and mantras, but they are not purposeful at all, because they're just posturing. They got caught up in the performative side of self-development. So being spiritual and being developed or conscious are not necessarily one and the same thing. And there is a great danger of that spiritual bypassing idea that, oh, once you find your purpose, everything is going to be easy. That's not true. And then people start second guessing themselves and sabotaging themselves, and honestly just living on excuses and in procrastination and in self-doubt, because they expect that something magical will just appear and will take away all their worries. Well, that's not how human life is. Even when we are on purpose, we are still overcoming challenges. We are still presented with lessons. And otherwise, why be alive? So life to me, like when I explain it just from the heart perspective, purpose to me has two dimensions. One is purpose is what you are here to give. It's expressing your essence, doing what you love, sharing your genius, sharing your essence. And the second aspect, a part of soul purpose, is growth and evolution that only comes from those lessons and from hardship and from overcoming, from sometimes some people experience traumatic situations or they have been wounded in a deep way. Well, what if all of that is actually part of your soul purpose, so you can overcome, so you can evoke through that challenge, evoke new qualities and new abilities within yourself that you never even realized you had. But had you had like a free fall, absolutely easy life, you would have never come to know yourself as strong. You would have never come to know yourself as brave. You would have never known yourself as a paradigm shifter. So I think there is great value in learning through contrast, back to current dynamic with COVID and all the things. There is no reason to get upset about it, because this is allowing us to see what wood are we really made of and become stronger and face some shadow aspects and face our triggers and alchemize them. Go deep, go within, not run away, not zone out, not get distracted, but dive in, because there are no distractions now available. So, you know, we have to sit with it, and we can alchemize it into medicine, into great learning.
Thank you so much. So beautiful. I know we haven't answered the question yet, what are the Akashic Records? But actually, I have one more question before that. You were talking about yourself as a little child, you know, running through the woods, speaking with imaginary friends.
Yeah.
I'm also very curious about, like, because today, and I think it's very bold to call yourself a modern day witch, you know, because as you guys know, witches have been burned in the past. It's a bold statement to say, I'm a witch, I'm a modern day witch, I'm a priestess. And I would love to hear a little bit about your path. And were you always knowing, like as a child, you already know, like, I'm a witch for sure, I'm here to do this? Or what, you know, moments did it need for you to arrive here?
Well, okay, let me start a little bit sideways. You know, like some weeks ago, I was on a spontaneous date. And I shared with the guy that, well, I'm a witch. And he was like, why? Like, why would you say this so normally? And my answer to him was the following, and it stayed with me. My answer was, well, one of the reasons why I am so vocal about it is because I feel it's my responsibility to speak on the behalf of those who do not have a voice. For me, this is not about placating it and putting it out there, but for me, it's about owning it, and by that, liberating others who carry this magic, who carry those archetypes within them, but do not feel safe to voice that, or they do not have the freedom that I have. Being self-employed, I can do whatever I want. You know, if somebody is working in corporate, they can't necessarily go to their boss and say, oh, by the way, I'm a witch. Yeah. So to me, I feel that it is an aspect of my assignment in this life to normalize such things as magic, spiritual connection, being psychic, past lives, intuition, priestess archetype, witch archetype. So that's why I'm vocal about it. I'm not saying it to impress a guy on a date. I'm not saying it to impress people on Instagram. I don't care. I'm saying it because it's true for me and because I think it's time to offload the emotional charge around those spiritual concepts. So I have found a place after many years where it's normal to me. And I say it because this is part of who I am. It's like I don't have any more big attachment to these words. Like I have to fight for them or prove something. But I also don't want to put them aside. For me, it is healing. It's a part of healing. And see, there is no one definition of what a witch is, what a priestess is. I see them as archetypes. And what are archetypes? They are energetical forces. It's a particular frequency. It's a particular energy that you carry. Say a witch. A witch and a priestess are very similar. To me, it's all part of the same energy line. A priestess is simply a person, a priest, a priestess, someone who is connected with higher power and who is making themselves available as a vessel, for as a channel, as someone who is devoted to something greater, devoted to a purpose, and is being of service. I would say there are, for example, social activists out there who are effectively priestesses because they're serving a cause, although they might never call themselves such. There are healers and midwives who carry the witch archetype, but they will never use it because maybe many nurses out there carry the witch archetype. Why? Because they are healers. They are using connection with the universe and connection with life to alleviate pain. That to me is a witch archetype, somebody who is sensitive to the elements and forces of nature. So I just really want to take all the mystic out of it. It's not woo, it's not esoteric at all. Those are just archetypes, forces in our subconscious and in our collective field that move through us. And to me, there is really no big deal about it. And like, that's why I normalize it so much. I can say, yeah, I'm a witch. And what I mean is I'm sensitive, I'm a healer, I interface with the universe. I'm a priestess, meaning I'm devoted to a purpose. I'm devoted to the path of conscious leadership. And let's say, even if I do a training in a more corporate environment, teaching leadership skills, for me, this is priestess work because I'm supporting someone. I'm revealing some insights to them, you know. That's how I see it.
I love that so much. And I read in one of your articles the following sentences: we are getting out of the spiritual closet en masse, embracing our spirituality, sensitivity, intuitive gifts with relentless incorruptibility. It is no longer okay for us to talk about spirituality in hushed voices and be ashamed of it like we used to be ashamed of sex. Claiming spirituality is a legitimate profession, knowing that it's not just a business niche for us, it's actually our life's work. I found these words so powerful because I feel this is what many of us are afraid of. I had actually this conversation with my partner about, you know, as I was connecting also to my business and, you know, asking the questions of, okay, what is really my mission? What is my mission statement? And I'm, you know, that's a dynamic thing that's also changing and evolving. And then I was like, well, in my essence, I'm actually a spiritual guide. That's what I'm here to do. And he was like, you can't write that down in Instagram. Like, you're a spiritual guide. That sounds way up there. What is saying in my Instagram is I'm a teacher, you know, for yoga, for Ayurveda, meditation, tantra. So of course that's a spiritual guiding, but I remembered, I was like, well, but that's actually who I am. So why shouldn't I write that down? And it's still a process in me. And I'm glad you're pointing that out. So why do you think there's so much fear and also emotional charge around these words of like, I'm a spiritual guide, I'm a priestess, I'm a witch, I'm a goddess? Why are people so afraid, or why are these feelings around these?
This is such a multi-layered question. I'm going to take it with me and probably write an article about it.
Please.
Or it's like a whole dissertation. But one of the things that is really on my mind right now is we make a lot of assumptions powered by history. Say, if we were somehow scolded for our full self-expression as children, even if it had nothing to do with magic, we make a tick point in our mind that, oh, full self-expression is unsafe. And it becomes then a pattern, you know, a limiting belief in the subconscious. So we carry it on from the past. And one incident is enough to make that note, to make that reference point. And this is one, it's just a force of habit of dimming our self-expression. And second, it's historical. It's in our DNA. It's in our ancestral history, and it's also in our soul history. So the Akashic Records are simply the database of information about our soul. It's like the morphic field of everything that was, is, and will be. And so if it's noted in your Akashic Records that you were burnt as a witch or somehow ostracized for being a healer and so on and so forth, it links your greatest medicine, your greatest purpose with your greatest pain. And when that link is made, the system is paralyzed and we go into shutdown. So when purpose and pain interlace, this is the trouble point, and the only way out is through. So I think we need to start questioning our assumptions. We assume that if we put the name spiritual mentor out there, people will laugh, or it will alienate our audience. It's too far out and people will not resonate with it. But what if it could be the opposite? You know, we often expect to be treated badly. Why? And it's still an expectation, it's still a thought. Why not expect the opposite? That's what I'm wondering about. So how about we just switch our thinking and assume that, what if that's what I was saying earlier, what if this will give voice to someone else who is afraid to claim that title? What if this could be a wave of that paradigm shift? I think it's my job to be on the edge. It's my job to say in my Instagram bio that I'm an alchemical priestess and spiritual mentor. And I can tell you, I also had a moment of thinking, alchemical priestess, because I have two businesses. Temple of Starfire is the intuitive business of being an alchemical priestess. The Firepower Group is the leadership development business that I'm doing with a business partner. And I'm like, what if those people who follow the Firepower Group and I'm teaching them leadership, or leadership development skills, they go to my personal Instagram and think, oh, she's an alchemical priestess and a witch. And then I thought, and what if for them it can be an example of someone who owns who she is? I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to defend it. I'm not going to explain it. It's like, this is me. Take it or leave it. Like, you know, I don't have to convert anyone. I don't have to convince people. This came through for me. And for me to divorce it and to not claim it would be the ultimate self-betrayal. I have betrayed myself enough in my life. I'm not willing to do that anymore. Not for anyone. Especially when it's all based on an assumption.
Yeah, I love that. To have no apologies about who you are. And also what I want to add, that you also said, it's not about, and I think that's sometimes the trap, getting, you know, when we kind of leave our old job, and I see that sometimes, you know, with people who can become a yoga teachers, and then suddenly it's another title and we want to give ourselves title, you know, again, it's about the known, you know, not being able also to give, it's not about attachment to a new title, but, and I think that's really important point, because I feel the ego loves titles, you know, the ego loves certainty, the ego loves, oh, that's me, you know, but of course, and I see, you know, some other spiritual guides or teachers, I see them just using their name on Instagram and saying nothing about their work, which I also find smart, because in the end, we are endless possibilities. We are open space, and we are so much more. I mean, you are so much more than a witch and a priestess, right? I'm so much more than a yoga teacher or a spiritual leader. We are, you know, we are so much more than that. And I think that's the dangerous thing about sometimes giving ourselves an identity about who we are, because we are all so much more than that.
Oh, I so agree with you, because words carry frequency, and our soul is a frequency, and words can only describe only that much. There cannot absolutely be any word that encompasses the totality and the diversity in the deeps of who we are. But I think that's why also, to turn this now on its head, this gives us the freedom to choose whatever words represent our frequency best. And if you feel spiritual guide represents best, then guess what? It's going to help your people find you. Because there's one rule I believe in. Success follows alignment, and alignment follows authenticity. Yeah. So when we are close to our essence, when we embody it and then bring everything into alignment, from the colors we use in our branding to the name we have on Instagram, that clicks. You see, for a while, I was just operating under my own name, Violeta Plyshakova. That was the domain name and the Instagram. And then about a year ago, I was reading this book by Ellen Tompkins called The Silver Wheel. And in that book, there was like once or twice mentioned the word Starfire. It was metaphorical. And I was on an airplane flying from Europe down to South Africa, flying over what is known as Tepe Tepe, the meridian zero that goes through the pyramids. So something got activated in me. And as I was there, like on that night flight between asleep and awake, the word Starfire, I can tell you, it like literally entered my very being. Or maybe it woke up from within me. And then it hit me. It hit me with the name Temple of Starfire. Then it took me a while to get adjusted to that, because I thought, that really is quite strong, Temple of Starfire. And so eventually I shifted my entire business, my intuitive work, under that name. And the moment I did that, it felt like a homecoming. It felt like, I'm just looking again for the right words, because words don't do it justice. I moved away from something that is safe and palatable, like using my own name, I moved into something that is most true. And I started to receive so many compliments on that brand. I said, people said, oh, wow, we can feel you better. That was the core message. They are now better informed about who I am, because I'm not hiding. And this is not that I'm artificially putting something out there. I'm simply saying the truth. This is called Temple of Starfire. This is a particular lineage, a particular frequency. And then my people can see me. They can resonate with me. I'm just making it easy for people who already are connected on the soul level with this Starfire energy. I'm making it easy to find me. It's like, to me, this is being of service. Being more fully who we are is being of service.
That's so beautiful. And I feel one of the most important things, actually, in order to receive those messages, as you said, during this space between sleep and, you know, being awake, is actually silence, that we give ourselves this moment, what you were speaking of earlier in our everyday lives, actually to let our soul speak to us. Because what I've been noticing is, you know, I'm practicing meditation, you know, over 10 years now, but I also practice a lot of active meditation, meaning I work with mantra, I work with certain kriyas, with visualizations and energy movements in my body. And that's all beautiful, and it has its very specific purpose. And yet, if there is not enough space, and that's also, I think, the thing with the guided meditations is if you're very busy doing things, it's very hard for your soul to speak to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. We need to make space. Otherwise, how can you hear guidance if there is no space for guidance to land into? If it's so occupied with especially consuming content or living from projections of other people or old paradigm scenarios, I think we all need to detox our lives and do less and be more. But again, it's a very personal calibration, yeah? So I can't be prescriptive in that as well. So, but having space is essential.
Having space, having silence, and also what I feel is that this guidance we receive in very different, and you know, when we say this word, even I love that we come up with this question around words, because I feel when we say guidance or soul purpose, there's always this, you know, like this expectation coming with for us of, oh my God, I receive guidance. That's opening a portal to the heavens. And, but guidance, that is something I found out for me throughout the years, is that guidance comes in very specific words. For example, for me, like there's actually a voice that says very specific words to me. For some other people, it might be they get visions, they get pictures. Some others, mm-hmm. they feel certain things. So I think it's also the realization that we already are on the path. So we don't need to, you know, go into a huge temple or, I don't know, dress up in spiritual clothes to receive guidance.
Yeah. I'm just imagining vividly, like dressing up in spiritual clothes, for example, your pajama, your favorite guidance pajama. Like when you're in that pajama, you're getting best guidance. But you know what is fascinating? I run a small group program called Unlock Your Essence, which is all about learning to live from guidance and learning to work with energy and intuition. And one of the first things that I share with participants is, do not create any expectation of how guidance will show up for you. Because if you very often in spiritual community, there is a perception that you need to be clairvoyant, you need to have visions. Yeah, but not everyone is clairvoyant. Many people are just clairsentient, they feel it, or claircognizant, they just know it without knowing how they know, how and it's like, so there are no like voices in their head, or they are not seeing angels deliver a message, or things like that. So do not compare yourself to anyone else. Rather, dive into self-trust and learn to make friends with your soul and your guidance and notice how it shows up for you, and trust that everyone's energy system is unique. Everyone's energy system and guidance is valid. Nobody can confirm it for you. You need to confirm it for yourself.
Beautiful. So you were already talking a little bit about your group sessions you give, and you also give one-on-ones where you actually dive into the Akashic Records. So coming back to that question, what are the Akashic Records? You already said it's a frequency, it's an energetic field of records where you can go back to receiving some guidance for people. So can you say a little bit about that word?
Yeah, so Akashic Records, as I said, it's a database. It's a non-physical database of information that lives as a field of data. It's called morphic field as well. And in those records, we can find information that we can't access with our rational mind. This is the intuitive information where everything is written down, not written down, metaphorically written down. It's not like a physical scroll, but there is information about who you are, about your lifetimes, about parallel realities, other dimensions, and so on. And how I use it, as I said, it's not for information, it's not for curiosity. When people ask curiosity questions about, oh, did I have a lifetime in medieval Spain? I cannot answer that because it's a curiosity question. For example, if people have some issues that they have not been able to solve in traditional therapy or coaching, this is where energy work and intuitive work and Akashic Records come in. For example, somebody might feel really, really blocked around their sexuality, and then they realize, and they have never been traumatized in this lifetime. And then they go back, we dig out, we ask questions in the records, what is needed to heal that, to shift that. And perhaps information is getting revealed about a past life, or about something in the family history that needs to be simply witnessed and acknowledged and then transformed through energy work. So I'm very eclectic in my approach. I don't follow any particular method or school, but what I do offer is absolutely pure space where I support clients to come closer to themselves, to come closer to their soul, to release what is no longer needed, to understand what is powering on the root level some of their troubles and challenges, and resolve them on the root level through tools of intuitive perception and energy work. I also help people understand how they can work with energy, and that's what I do in the Unlock Your Essence program, where we go on a journey of learning the skills and the practical tools that you can use in your life every day to live closer to your soul. And that's the work on my templeofstarfire.com website. You can learn more about that. And then another big passion of mine is leadership and consciousness, courage, living 100% life. And in the Fire Power Group, we have leadership development trainings for anyone, no matter your role, be that corporate or not. Anyone can use those leadership skills, such as accountability, decision-making, and so on. And the firepowergroup.com is the place to explore that. So this is my work.
Amazing. Of course, we will post your website and where you can find Violetta's work under the show notes. So I can highly recommend going over there, checking out her work, her articles. You also have lots of free articles there, and getting to know you. And I can highly recommend working with Violetta.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to hear coming from you. It means a lot.
Of course. So I'm looking at the time. I mean, I could literally talk to you for for the whole day and longer. Yeah. But I think we have to wrap it up a little bit. So I have a last question for you. So if today would be your last day on this earth, on this planet, what would you would like to tell humanity, like what you have learned, like three things you would like humanity to know?
Well, okay, let me tune in and just see what comes through intuitively. I don't want to do it from my head.
Yes, please.
Okay, the number one thing that comes through is don't waste your time. Don't waste your time in waiting around, looking for confirmation. Don't waste your time on being lukewarm. Don't half-ass life. It's all in or nothing. Take risks. Live on edge. Call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. Experiment. Dare. Be courageous. Just really go all in.
Beautiful. Was that one advice or were that three?
I think that's all. That's all. I have no more. Nothing left.
The most important, I think. It's the most important. And as you said in the very beginning, I think that's something so beautiful we can take from the situation wherever we are, the appreciation of life. And to realize that, I mean, probably we get reborn, but we don't know that. Maybe we get enlightened in this.
Maybe we will be chilling on the clouds. So we need to make best use of this existence and this experience. And really, there is no need and no time and no excuse to sugarcoat who we are and to self-abandon. So let's come back to ourselves. Let's live our essence. Let's infuse everything we do with absolute honesty and truth. That is my final statement.
So beautiful. Thank you so much, Violetta, for your work, your amazing, inspiring work you do, and showing up and inspiring so many others to claim their power and claim who they really are and doing that yourself. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Vanda, for this beautiful conversation. I'm feeling so inspired. And thank you as well for your wonderful podcast and your work. It's so great to be connected with you.
I'm also so happy to have you close and in my circle. And you guys, I'm definitely check out her work. She's so special, and I'm so happy that I got to share this interview with you today. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast again, Violetta.
Thank you.
And guys, see you next week. And please, if you love this conversation, and I hope you did, then share it with your friends, with your family, everyone who could benefit from this conversation, from Violetta's work, and share it on Instagram. You find Violetta on Instagram, Temple of Starfire. You find me on Instagram. And if you love to support my work, please leave me a review on Apple iTunes. Yeah. So just writing a few things, what you liked about the podcast, and that's supporting me and my work so much. And it's helping the podcast to grow and to inspire and uplift as many people as possible. So thank you so much for listening, you guys. Stay true to yourself, stay healthy, and see you next week. Bye bye. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I'm happy if you follow the wonderful podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or YouTube. Share the podcast with your friends and leave a review while you're there. Because only with your support, the podcast can grow and inspire and uplift as many people as possible. Thank you for being here, and I wish you a wonderful time. And I hear you next week. Namaste.